Well, hi guys. It's nice to join you again on this week where we again get together online and bring a message and fellowship one with another, I suppose, through a lens. And so again, this week is different. We've practiced serious isolation this week and have had no interaction with anybody else. In fact, Val and I are running all the equipment and getting it all done because it's just Val and I, and it's back at our home in yet another room. You don't want to see that side of the room because Valerie's decided now she's going to paint the cupboards in the kitchen. And so
Kitchen cabinet.
the kitchen cabinets are going to be painted, so everything's kind of stripped there. So yeah, what you're seeing is about the most orderly part of this room. And but it's just a joy to get with you. Yeah, John came in, opened the garage, dropped the equipment, and he FaceTimed me on how to run the equipment. So here we are, doing that. And as we said, we want to take communion together. And I hope that you've got your elements there. And if not, just reach out on the screen, touch pause button. Ron and I'll wait for you. And when you're ready, hit the pause button and let's enjoy our time together as just communion, especially as we come up to these next weeks where we truly celebrate the victory of Calvary. And really, it's a victory meal that we partake together in communion. And Paul obviously documents it in 1 Corinthians 11 and it's verses 23 to 26. He talks about them that he received from the Lord, that the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And then he goes on and says, "In at the end of the supper, he took the cup." And when we do it, we are not doing it remorsefully, but we're doing it with a celebration in our hearts. So I really would like you to partake with us in celebration. And I know that we are so mindful of the situation, and it's very real. And but we just really want to break away from that, knowing that our God never leaves us, never forsakes us, that He's with us, and that He is cheering us through this time. And so we want to just partake together. So I'm just grateful to have Valerie with me as we partake together, as well as I bring the message, and we can participate together as we enjoy the service together. So let's take your bread, and obviously it reflects what Christ did. He says, "I went and my body broken, so yours will be healed. I became a curse on the tree so that you could be blessed. I became poor that you may become rich." And so when we break this bread, we must remember, he says, "Every time you do this in remembrance of me." So we want to do it in remembrance, remembering what was taking place at Calvary. And it's a victory over the enemy, over the death that had been placed upon man. So, Father, as we partake together, we thank you that we can take this bread, and as the scripture says, that night he broke it, and we break it. And with thanksgiving in our hearts, Father, we partake remembering the great sacrifice that you and your son took that day on Calvary. So, Father, we partake. We thank you for the promises. We receive the promises as yes and amen for us. And we take it together in Jesus' name. Amen.
And he said the same night that he was betrayed, he took the cup. And I'm just so reminded by that old hymn that we sing, "Oh, the blood of Jesus."
Yeah.
The power that's in the blood. So we do this in remembrance of that power that he just gave us. We have all power and
Yeah.
all authority because of Jesus.
Yeah.
So we partake now of his blood. And we just thank you, Father, for the
Yes.
cleansing power as we
Yes.
partake together.
Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Well, that was a first for me. I know that some churches have been doing drive-through communion. I don't quite know how that looks. But literally, as families, you can do this anytime. And when life gets overwhelming, stop your family, come around the communion table, remember the promises, and we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And so partake as often as you can. And if you're sick in body, just partake it as healing. And I think Joseph Prince has got a book called Eat Yourself into Full Health or something of that nature. And so, yeah, we're just grateful that you're joining and participating with us. And obviously, there's multiple friends from around the world that are joining. Welcome. It's nice to have you in Coastal Family. Man, as pastors, with Val and I miss you and our interaction. It's just part of our DNA to be together. But we have to do what we have to do so this battle may prevail. And so we are just grateful for that. Obviously, the week we're about to enter in is called Passion Week, as it's become known. And it's the week that Jesus journeyed to the cross. And the account of this happens in all four Gospels. This week is detailed in different ways. And so we're going to be taking it from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, that we would be looking at these notes. And I want to just point out, it's very interesting this week, that where we are starting in John 12, there are 21 chapters in John, the Gospel of John. So nearly 50% of John's Gospel is devoted to this week that we are entering into. Also interesting that two-fifths of Matthew is dedicated to this portion of Jesus's journey, three-fifths of Mark, and then a third of Luke. So a big portion of the Gospels is dedicated only to this week. Let me just, for those that are interested, I find it interesting that all the four Gospels make up 89 chapters. Four of those chapters are about Jesus from his birth up to his start of ministry when he was 30. And the 85 of those others were the 3 years that he ministered, 85 of those chapters. And then 29 of those 85 chapters are devoted to this week. So there is a great emphasis from the writers of the gospel for this week. And so today, as Palm Sunday, and in Jesus' day, that was Sunday, the 6th of April, 33 AD. So that's what happened. And obviously, it's also known as, traditionally known as Palm Sunday. And obviously, it's all the palm branches that were waved, as we will pick up in the scriptures. And when Val and I were in Israel, we were taken down all these different areas, and he kept on pointing out the palm trees. And
our guide.
And he said, listen, we're going to drive past 100,000 palm trees. And he wasn't joking. It's a big, huge date industry. So a favorite fruit of Valerie's, I may say. No, she doesn't. She doesn't.
It's not an online date either.
No, it's date the fruit. Passion Week is started with Palm Sunday, and obviously the movie Mel Gibson on Passion Week was one of the greats that Hollywood produced. You could also call it Donkey Sunday, because obviously in the not only palm branches were used, but donkeys mentioned in the story that we're about to read. And just another bit of information, that the Hebrew calendar, this day is the 10th day of Nisan, which is the calendar, the Hebrew calendar. And obviously there are three feasts that they were told to celebrate, and were encouraged to celebrate. Those who were in the proximity of Jerusalem would come to these feasts. That was the Passover, which is the one that's being initiated now on Palm Sunday. Then there is Pentecost, and then there's Tabernacle. So these are the feasts that were they all came up to the city to celebrate. So the 10th day of Nisan was the beginning of the Passover week. The Passover week is when they celebrated the children of Israel being delivered from the plagues and from Egypt, and they got to sacrifice a lamb, take the blood, place it upon the lintels and upon the doorposts, and so the death angel would pass over them, because finally the last plague was the death of the firstborn in Egypt. And so they celebrated their deliverance. And again, like we've just taken communion, we've celebrated the deliverance. So it also was the 10th day was the day that the families got together and they would go and select a lamb that they would sacrifice, where they would kill for the meal that would take place on the 14th of Nisan, which is 4 days' time. And it was just interesting that on this very day, the perfect Lamb of God makes his journey to Jerusalem. And we will look at that. So I've asked Val to help me and read the account that we're going to be reading from John chapter 12. And it's verses 12 through 19. And if you've got your devices or you've got your Bible there, just open it up and you can read through with us. This is the New Living Translation I'll be reading from, well, Val will be reading from. And so, Val, if you could just help me read through that those verses, and then I'll pick it up from there.
The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, and as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb, raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done these signs. The Pharisees therefore said amongst themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him."
Yes, sir. I was just wanting to take that portion of scripture and have a look at it. And obviously, groups of people are mentioned in here, scripture, prophecies mentioned in here, and obviously some of creation's mentioned in here. But what came to me was the importance of some of the people that took the responsibility to actually carry Christ. The first one, obviously, was Mary, when the angel asked Mary to carry Christ in pregnancy. What an honor, what a privilege. Then I see that this donkey had the privilege of carrying Christ on this incredible journey to Jerusalem, and had the privilege of doing it. I remember that Simon of Cyrene, how he was told to pick up the cross and help Jesus carry the cross to Golgotha. And I look at these important moments that different people carried Christ. And then I stopped and I realized that we have this incredible importance in our own lives, where we are invited to carry Christ. The scripture goes on and says, "Christ in us, the hope of glory." So we have this incredible privilege, as Mary did, as that donkey did, to carry Christ. And it was it's something that just popped up to me while I was just reading and reminiscing about the donkey. And obviously, the donkey, I had quite a few things that came to mind about donkeys, but due to the time restraints I have on making sure we recorded in the right time, I would obviously just kind of gloss over, I'll go over some of that. But Val and I were reminiscing last night before going to bed about the donkey stories in our lives. And for my grand having donkey carts, to my sister coming off donkey carts, donkeys on riding. I will save that for another day. And obviously, the donkey story will come up as we unpack some of the scriptures this morning. And so I want to look at some of the truths from these verses, just to kind of just focus on what I felt the Lord wanted me to kind of look at this week, at the scriptures as we go into it. So let's look at the first two verses again that Val read, verses 12 and 13. I'll just get Val to read that again, and I'll pick up my thoughts on that one.
The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel."
Yeah. So, kind of, my thought was that Jesus was more popular than religion, as we see this journey take place. The monotony, the repetition, and the rituals of religion had bred no hope, no confident expectation in the hearts of the people anymore. And the people that were hopeless and disillusioned. And here Jesus comes, and for 3 years he displays, he declares, he delivers God's love, his forgiveness, his mercy, and the life-giving hope that he carried. And the cry of man's hearts could be heard on this Palm Sunday as they came out and they cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means "save now, save now." There was a cry in their hearts, a cry for the king, a Lord, an access to something that was real, not a religion, but they wanted a relationship. And Jesus bought that, and it was so refreshing when Jesus came and bought that. And so the crowds came to him, because most people are really looking for a spiritual life, spiritual authenticity and vibrancy, and they just don't want dead religion. They're not for that. Like General Booth in the Salvation Army, he says, "I want my faith and my belief like I like my tea, hot." And obviously Barry would smile and give the nod there, because when I have to make her Earl Grey, I boil the kettle, I brew the tea, and then I put it in the microwave again to tweak it another 30 seconds. So it comes to her piping hot.
It's good for the virus.
Good for the virus, they say. So Valerie literally who lives her faith like she has her tea hot. And Jesus challenged the religious people, because their hearts were more for the traditions, the religious order of the day, were more interested in the religion than God. Jesus was saying, "You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." And so Jesus' scathing words went out to the religious. And so we see that the religious here in this scripture here, they were definitely on their back foot, jealous as they saw Jesus followed in such an intense way. I also saw this list comparing Jesus and religion. It says religion emphasizes the outward, and I know that it's all about the look, the appearance, that kind of thing. And Jesus was emphasizing the inward, the heart. He says, "But what does your heart say?" Out of your heart speaks. It's all about your heart, because God says that's really where the true issue is where's your heart. You can do all the outside stuff. You can have all this facade, but God's looking at the heart. And it says religion is all about what you can't do. And exciting to know Jesus is all about what we can do. And Mike Wonky used to say, "Man, if you do the do's, you haven't got time to do the don'ts." And so when we are looking at it, you say, "No, you can't do this, you can't do that." And Jesus says, "Listen, come to me, I've done it. And because I've done it, you can do it." And we were looking at in our What We Have series, knowing that we have Christ within us, the hope of glory. We have Christ in us who is able to move through us to become that vessels. It says your religion puts up barriers. And man, you have to hop through this hoop and hop through that hoop. And you spend your whole life, and you know, lovely thing, Jesus has pulled down the barriers. In fact, when he was raised from the dead, that curtain that separated us from the Holy of Holies, that intimate relationship we could have, was torn from the top down. He demolishes barriers. Man, he came on a rescue mission to set us free. And then this last thought, Jesus. The religion says you work your way. It's all about works, about doing. And Jesus says, "I'm the way, and I'm the way is done. I'm done. I've done everything for you. I've made a way for you." So Val and I have an incredible dislike for religion. And so when people come in and talk to us, and Val says, "You know, we don't like religion." They said, "But you full-time pastors." Yeah. We're all about relationship with the King of Kings. So I want to just go on to say that, you know, Jesus was more popular than religion. And so if Jesus is presented in a non-religious way, but a real way, I tell you what, people come to him. The goodness of God draws a man to repentance. The goodness of Jesus draws a man to repentance. So let's have a look at these next two verses. And thou, if you would read 14 through 16 for us, I'd appreciate that.
Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, and they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him.
Yeah, it's, for me, I just saw that, took a great courage that the disciples that were hanging around Jesus also didn't understand some of the stuff that was going on. It's like me when sometimes I read the scripture and I think, what on earth is this all about? And I took great courage from that because I realized that they didn't understand it, and only later did it was revealed to us. So I had this thought that the Bible is more reliable than man's opinion.
Yeah.
From that verse. And we see here Jesus, he spoke about this, and obviously that first verse that he found a young donkey. And in Luke 19, he told two of his disciples to go to the next town, and they will find a donkey and a colt next to it. He says, bring the colt, and if anybody asks you, just says the master has need of it. And they bought the colt. A colt is a donkey that's never been ridden before. I don't want you to, I suggest you don't try this. Don't try and get on a colt. It will definitely debus you quickly. It'll throw you off. But it was important that very thing happened. Jesus sent for that donkey, and that donkey fulfilled something. It fulfilled the prophecies that Zechariah spoke about, and that's what was quoted here. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey. And Jesus, by getting on a donkey, was making a declaration of his kingship. And you know, and I'll get to that, but a donkey in those days, a king would ride a donkey in times of peace. He would parade through the city in times of peace on a donkey. But in times of war, he would ride a horse. And that was, it used to declare something. So it declared, firstly, a king rode a donkey. So Jesus was declaring his kingship. And it was also declaring there was time for peace to come to earth. And Jesus was that peace. So we see that came. But we know that our Jesus is coming back on a white horse in Revelation 19. And that is to make war, a final war on the enemy. So it's a time of peace. But interesting that prior to this, Jesus would not declare who he was. If he did a miracle, he'd say, shh, don't tell anybody. And suddenly, it was now front and center stage that Jesus was announcing his kingship. And that scripture clearly says here, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. And so we need to see the emphasis of Jesus finally declaring his kingship. The other thing was that Jesus, he wept. We see that in other scriptures, that as he got to this point, he looked over Jerusalem, and we've got a big panoramic picture that we picked up when we were in Jerusalem in the end of January. And we were standing on the Mount of Olives, where he actually came in and got onto the colt. And we have this panoramic view of Jerusalem. And obviously, we were there a couple of weeks ago, and we were standing there and taking photos, you know, obviously the very thing. And Jesus was there and he wept. Why? Because he knew what was going to happen in 70 years' time. In 70 AD, it would be flattened completely by the Roman Empire, not one stone on top of another. And so he wept. He also said that you did not recognize the day and the time. And he was trying to get to the people to understand that this day, this very time, this very Palm Sunday was announced and declared as the King and the Anointed One was coming. And why do I say that? Because Daniel prophesied this Palm Sunday on the 10th of Nisan, the 6th of April, this very journey to Jerusalem, Daniel prophesied in Daniel chapter 9, and it's 25 through 26. And he declared that day, that 483 years after Jerusalem was then rebuilt, that the Anointed One would come. And goes on and says, and then the Anointed One would be cut off. And so scholars, and in fact, Sir Robert Anderson from the Criminal Investigation from Scotland Yard, went and did the whole analysis on the time and date. And obviously, when the Jewish people were released from Babylon and were sent back, and Nehemiah started building the wall, they pegged the date and they went forward. And the very day that was announced, the day was Palm Sunday. It was the 10th of Nisan. It was declared in prophecy. And so Jesus was standing on the very point where this was prophesied 483 years before, and Daniel announced this thing. So I just want you to say that amongst multiple other prophecies, which just are unbelievable that they were all fulfilled, bringing Christ into this point. And so when we are debating whether we're going to follow the Word of God, and if we understand it or not, or we're going to go with the opinions of men. Men have their opinions. I'm telling you, I'm not for opinions. I want to see it in Scripture. I want to see it. Yes, I am born again. Yes, I am going to be with Jesus. I want to know it for myself. And Paul encourages Timothy, study to show yourself approved. The Word of God is not there to kind of be a whip for us, but it's just to be able to inform us on the reliability of the Word of God. So yeah, the Bible is more reliable than man's opinion, because we see the prophetic words that were announced in Psalms 118 and Zechariah, and so we see this here also in Daniel chapter 9. And so my last thought, and just as we are closing here, I want to just look at the last verses 17 through 19, and just give you my thoughts on that one. So Val, if we could just read 17 through 19, I really appreciate that.
Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said amongst themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him."
So we see here that following is more important than being a spectator and then spectating. Here we see in the scripture four different groups of people. The one was that they were in this group. There were witnesses, people that were there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Now that's a remarkable miracle. And there were eyewitnesses. So that was the one group. Then the word got out that Jesus had done this. That the word got out that these people that came to the feast, that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And so they became hearers of that miracle. People, I heard that Jesus prayed and raised Lazarus from the dead, and they wanted to see Lazarus, and they wanted to see Jesus. And so that was the other group in the crowd. Then obviously we got the religious Pharisees that were burning with jealousy, and they were just burning because Jesus was more popular than them. And so we see them as the third group. But the fourth group is obviously his disciples. His disciples would be there, supporting him, accompanying him, and serving him as he went in. And so only one group followed Jesus out of the four types of groups. And the others were curious, critical spectators. And so my question is, which group are we in? Are we the ones that are following, that we are fully persuaded, that we have a confident expectation? Because in these groups, we see that we can blur the lines, we can kind of go cold. We can see that we may be more comfortable with religion. We had some folk that prefer to go on and go to the customary rituals and repetition things of religion, and so we release them and let them go. But I tell you, religion's not where it's at. It's about relationship. So, and some people are more comfortable with that, because I go, do my Sunday thing, check the box. No, it's more than that. Much, much more than that. And then those that are patterning their lives over man's opinions, and they have their end time theories, and they have their works programs and stuff, and they don't hold on to the truth and the liberating truth of the scriptures. And so, which group are we? Are we the followers, the believers, the doers, the ambassadors, the ones that are connected and committed to having this relationship with Jesus, a living Savior, the Holy Spirit working in and through us? So as Jesus is now approaching, let us be mindful of this week, this Passion Week, that Jesus is now approaching. Now as a declared King, He is going to the cross for one purpose only: to come and rescue us. And so today we sit here in this crazy, unbelievable circumstances of our surroundings. No way in history have I ever seen anything like this, and of this pandemic and all that, the variations and the adjustments that we're. But I know that God knows all about this, and He's going to carry us through, take us through. And as believers, we're the ones to instill the hope and the confident expectation that our God's with us, He's for us. And as we go through this week, just reflect on the incredible focus of commitment that Jesus had for us. It says that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross because He could see on the other side this very relationship that we have and we talk about and we rejoice about. So I want to leave those kind of thoughts with you in brief today. I'm hoping you're enjoying listening to this from either your lazy boy or from your king bed with all your kids around you, or maybe you've only got to it a little later and you're picking up the following recordings. However it is, we just really want you to know that our hearts are with you. We really are cheering you on at some of them are very difficult situations, whether it's your job situation, you're concerned about loved ones and the health situations and all those things. We're with you. We're praying for you. We'll get through this. We are adjusting to the isolation for us folk. So I'm going to just ask Val to close us in prayer and just pray for our week and pray for our days that lie ahead. And I'm really looking forward, and we're going to come together again on Easter Sunday, the day that we celebrate Christ is risen. And we're going to take communion again, because that's really appropriate. Really just participate together. Send us your comments, send us your thoughts, send us your prayer requests. We got time. I can pray for you while Val's getting me to paint the cupboards and all those things. No, Valerie must redo the shoulder most of it, because she's just a little soldier. So I love to you all, and so hallelujah. Father, thank you.
Father, I just want to thank you for your incredible goodness, your grace, your peace. Father, where we see that opinions change all the time, your word never changes. Your character never changes. You are steadfast.
Yes.
That we can put our trust, our hope in you. And Father, I pray that the joy of the Lord can be our strength through this time. Father, let us not lose the joy of our salvation. The joy of just being together, even though we're not together physically.
Yes.
We just thank you for your Son. And we just want to commit everybody into your hands. Mm. And Father, that we can be a good reflection and representation of you. In Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen.
Just for those that want to, some people are putting palm branches or a branch or anything, any branch that you can find on their doorstep, just to represent Palm Sunday. So if you want to do this, you're welcome. If you don't, that's okay. I'm going to have to go and find a branch somewhere. I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Until we meet again, you're greatly loved.
Love you guys.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.